flashed over the walls, showing the faint rectangular marks where paintings had been hung 100 years ago. Ryan leaned his elbows on the sill, staring out across the sleeping ruins. This was the place. Damn near the biggest city in the world. The true capital of the United States of America. He'd seen it several times on old flickering vids, and in pictures and torn books and faded magazines. Now he was in its center, looking over the finest street in the whole ville. On Fifth Avenue, it was beginning to snow. The first frail flakes whirled down on the teeth of the blue norther, settling immediately on the cold, cold ground. It covered the sharp edges of the tumbled masonry and metal, veiling the old horror of the biggest slaughterhouse in history. There had never been such a killing as when the missiles dropped over Manhattan Island. And there never would be again. Dredd was already awake when Ryan returned to the lobby.
Is it time for us?
Yeah, it's snowing outside.
The boy uncoiled with a cultish grace, rubbing in his eyes.
We had some bad winters in this ville. Colder than a well digger's cack.
Make sure to wake Christy and Mildred on time.
Yeah, sure, Chief. Can I borrow that? No. Nobody borrows blasters.
That's right. Hey, where's Doc gone?
I've been out to answer the call of nature. When you reach my age, my dear friends, you will find that you want to do less more often, if you take my meaning. I'm all right now. Until next time.
The pressure of the double jump, combined with the firefight and the tension of being in this alien ville, all worked to make Ryan feel utterly bone-tired. By the warm fire with a double watch-out, he felt reasonably secure, so he fell asleep quickly. As the branches in the fire burned through, they crumbled away into frail columns of ash. The sound was loud enough to wake Ryan. He started to sit up and felt the jar of something poked into his chest. There was just enough light left from the dying fire to make out the silhouette of Dredd holding the G-12 caseless, the muzzle touching Ryan's breastbone. Retha was on the other side of him, the home-built blaster in her small fist, her eyes glassed over, like a woman on jolt.
So fucking long, Audi. Lie down.
Sure.
You got your fucking gun, you wouldn't borrow me, Audi.
Yeah.
First you, then that smart bastard Dix, then the old man with the triple stoop talk, then the black bitch, and the redhead last. Save them for fucking last. Or last fucking.
Yeah.
Now say goodnight.
It was as though Dredd were an android who'd malfunctioned, as if a metal spring had broken and uncoiled from within his throat, bursting from the front, standing out by at least 8 inches. A tiny fragment of time passed, and Ryan realized what he'd seen. The tip of Doc's sword stick, thrust with a savage force into the back of the teenager's neck, had penetrated and emerged from the front. As quickly as he'd struck, Doc withdrew his blade, lunged again, this time into the boy's back, 2 fingers to the left of the spine, and 4 fingers below the scapula. Retha half turned and looked down at Dredd's corpse. With his left hand, Ryan threw off his coat, and with his right, he withdrew his panga, swinging it sideways in a short hacking arc, aiming at Retha's skinny legs. Retha hopped backward, starting to fall. She locked her arms around Doc's neck, making it impossible for him to shorten his grip on the hilt of the sword stick to stab her. Her mouth silently gaped open, tears streaming down her face, thinning the speckles of arterial blood from Dredd's grisly demise.
Push her away, Doc.
I can't!
You killed him! You killed Dredd, you big fucker!
Doc's eyes narrowed, and for a split second he seemed to be staring straight through Retha. Then he wrapped his steely fingers around Retha's wrists and peeled her arms from around his neck. With great strength, he held Retha's arms up above her, practically lifting her off the ground.
You will say no such thing!
It was Ryan's opportunity, and he took it. He took 2 steps toward the still struggling Retha and drove the panga through her heart. There were several post-mortem twitches in the girl's body, and then the final and unmistakable stillness. Ryan bent down and braced his foot on the corpse's chest to pull out his punga.
Thanks, Doc.
You're more than welcome, my dear chap. Nasty business.
Doc went to pick up and clean his slim sword stick, wiping it on one of the few dry patches on Dredd's clothes. Their companions, having been unable to assist in dealing with the swift treachery, could only try to make sense of what had just happened.
How come you were up and awake, Doc?
My little problem, for once, came in frightfully useful.
What problem's that? Oh, you mean the little problem that makes bad-tempered old farts like you have to get up in the middle of the night?
Indeed, yes. I was returning to my sleeping place when I saw our two deceased companions whispering together. I closed in as quietly as my creaking knee joints would permit. The lad plucked up your rifle, Ryan, and that was when I decided I would need to draw my steel.
Again, Doc, thanks. I owe you one.
Nonsense. Stuff and bloody nonsense. By the three Kennedys, Ryan, if you owe me one, then I must owe you at least 50.
JB shared the remainder of the night guard's duties with Christy and Mildred. The bodies were heaved out of the way, through the shattered doors, and onto what had once been the bustling sidewalk of Fifth Avenue. In the morning, it was no great surprise to find that both were gone. As the early light of dawn came creeping up from behind the Guggenheim, Ryan and Christy stood together and looked out at the ruins that stretched as far as the eye could see. Christy put her arm around Ryan's waist, drawing him closer to her, savoring his strength and power.
Lover?
Yeah?
Now what? Do we go on back to the redoubt and jump out of New York?
He rubbed the stubble that was sprouting from his chin, darkening the angle beneath the jaw.
We can spare enough ammo to trade for food for a few days yet. Or we can just take it when we want.
So we're staying. What about this big gang of scalies the kid talked about down at the docks?
We can keep clear and walk careful.
You sorry about them? Retha and the boy?
Dredd? Not especially. They tried their luck and lost. I know you thought he might have been a sort of replacement. I'll tell you this, Lover. He was no Jack Lauren. Never would have been.
Now it was back to the five of them, and they were able to revert to the familiar loose skirmishing pattern that they all knew so well. Ryan was out on point, the G-12 held ready in his hands, eye raking the heaps of stone and metal that lined every street in Manhattan. Christy was immediately behind him, then Doc, still stepping out with a dandyish elegance, wrapping his cane on the frosted cobbles. JB and Mildred shared the rearguard position, walking close together, and occasionally talking quietly and earnestly.
Are you sure they actually screwed last night, Lover?
I think they'd prefer to call it making love. I know that's what I prefer to call it, Lover. But yeah, I'm damn sure they did. That bother you, Ryan?
Ryan didn't reply, shaking his head, walking briskly on along the wide street.
You must see how they are, Lover. It's like looking at the desert just after the spring rains.
The snow had stopped at some point during the night. The temperature was very close to freezing, and the ville seemed to be completely deserted. Not even a rat moved amidst the cold, glittering wasteland.
Wish we'd kept some of our warm clothes. Lost so much along the way.
Makes for a reason to keep moving.
Is there anything in particular we're searching for in these forsaken ruins? To wander aimlessly has never been one of my favorite hobbies.
They'd reached the southern end of Central Park. The farther they walked, the worse the devastation seemed to get. Mildred stopped, blowing at her hands, rubbing them together, her breath gathering in front of her like plumes of steam.
Sure is chilly.
Borrow my coat? I don't feel the cold too much.
Ryan avoided the temptation to glance sideways at Christy.
Thanks, John. I'll struggle on a while longer.
The wind was still biting in from the north, bringing occasional flakes of snow or a brief rattle of venomous hail. At a cross street a block ahead of them, they watched a five-legged dog, a brindled pit bull, dash over, carrying something dead in its jaws. At that distance, it was impossible to make out what it might be. It was about then that they heard something, far off in the distance.
JP, you think it's one of Traitor's war weapons?